Good morning. A Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, some terrible news to start with this morning. Four dead, including the shooter during an attack at Gilroy Garlic Festival in California. We know now that a six-year-old was killed.
According to reports, there's a manhunt for an alleged second shooter going on right now. And
the alleged shooter cut a hole in fencing to get through and into the festival to do this.
They got this guy in less than a minute, apparently. Nevertheless, look at the damage that can be caused by these guns. Apparently, there were rapid-fire guns involved, number one. And number two, it's an insidious sort of culture that gets people to do this kind of thing, knowing full well that they're going to end up dead. Now, it is something to be hearing about a six-year-old dying. But for those of us who have six-year-olds in our family, you have to just sort of transpose the idea, the concept of somebody died, a six-year-old died, to what that actually means. Can you imagine raising a child for 6 years and then bringing them out, and the guilt that must be involved with that, and having some madman, and that's exactly what this person is, shoot the child, and what it means to a family and to a legacy? It's just more than one should bear. And until we come to some kind of way of dealing with guns in this country, we are in real trouble. There will be people listening to me now who will say, you know, you're wrong. I know I'm right, and everybody knows I'm right. This is just it. The idea that Americans need these guns and that we have to proliferate with them is beyond anything that I can possibly understand.
You can't help but send your thoughts and prayers out to those affected by this tragedy.
You bet.
Well, let's turn to the intelligence chief, Dan Coats, to step down after strife with Trump. Mr. Coats says the New York Times and President Trump were often at odds over Russia, North Korea, and the president's own attacks on the intelligence community. Mr. Trump tweeted that he would nominate Representative John Ratcliffe, a Texas Republican and staunch ally, to replace Mr. Coats.
Yes, Mr. Ratcliffe, of course, is correctly named. As you may remember from the recent hearings, he was out there defending Trump and saying that his rights, Trump's rights, had been trampled. It was unbelievable. And now the payoff, he gets the position that Coats had. Coats, of course, was one of the great ones that somehow, probably mistakenly, got in there. And from the beginning, he created a real tension with Trump. He said, no, this is not right. You may remember that wonderful moment on the air when Coats was being interviewed in the middle of the crisis in which we knew that Putin had tried to bust into our elections, and we had a president who was saying nothing but good things about Putin, and they're our friends, and I love the guy, and all the rest of it. And there's Coats sitting on the stage, and his interviewer says, we've just had breaking news that Putin is being invited to the White House, and there was just shock on the part of Coats, who sort of nervously smiled and said, well, that should be interesting, but I tell you, it was symbolic of the way in which this president does business. He has experts, he doesn't listen to them, and the relationship between Putin and Trump, years later, we're going to find out what that was all about, but it really is disgusting.
Well, let's stay with that theme. President Trump spent some time attacking Baltimore, specifically Elijah Cummings, the representative there, tweeting the Democrats always play the race card when in fact they've done so little for our nation's great African-American people. Elijah Cummings has failed badly. Meanwhile, the paper in Baltimore backed Cummings, basically saying, you have much more power to help Baltimore, Mr. President, and we are part of this country.
And they said much worse. They really were on the president's case. You know, David, the philosophy that got him in the last time, he thinks, is racism. It's implicit. It's, in some cases, not so subliminal, but he knows what he's doing. In order to get elected, he will divide. He will continue with this racist stuff, and he will hope that it gets him through in a country that has its fair share of racism. That's for sure.
On the other side, the Democrats. A Sunday surge, says Politico, nearly half of House Democrats back an impeachment inquiry. Four more rank-and-file Democrats called for opening an impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump yesterday.
You know what? You got Pelosi, who is against it, who says it's too early, who knows full well that it won't go anywhere in the Senate, and who knows it probably in the long run will help Trump. Nevertheless, there are so many people who are so frustrated with this president. So they're saying, okay, impeach him and let that be on the record.
Putting it on the record is Alex Morse, the 30-year-old Massachusetts mayor of Holyoke, running to unseat House Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal. A very interesting article, Alan. Representative Neal's refusal to get Trump's state tax returns emerges as a re-election issue. Morse says, I know people here in western Massachusetts and people around the country are frustrated with the way in which he's handled this issue from day one.
Well, let's face it, Richard Neal, who is one of my favorite people in the world, is on the team of the Speaker Pelosi, and he is not going to stop the way that he's been doing it. He has been asking for those tax returns. He's been going to the courts. As a political guy, as somebody who looks at this kind of thing, I think Richie Neal, as I say, who is a great favorite of mine, should at this stage of the game be considering what people want and how frustrated they are. New York passed a law, Cuomo signed it, which gives Neal the right to look at the state tax returns, which are very close to the federal tax returns. Neal doesn't want to do that. Politically, I think it's a mistake. I think he should do it. I think we should get whatever this is that's driving Trump crazy about his tax returns ought to be out there for the American people to see. I think Richie, if I can call him that, should be doing exactly this and saying, okay, we're going to get this any way we can.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thank you, sir. Back to work.